When I was younger, and even up until a couple of years ago, I pictured the wilderness as a desert. And I was basing the desert on the beaches back on the East Coast with the sand and stuff. And I could just picture this like that. But as I studied and went and looked and read about it, it's not like that at all. It's a dry, hard packed, crusty terrain with rocks and stones, with crags and gorges, and these rough hillsides. And there's very little water. It's cold at night, it's hot during the day, and it has all those little poisonous creatures that crawl around there that I just don't want to be near. And the wind blows, and it picks up the particles, and it beats these small stones and rounds them out smooth, so that they're smooth stones, almost like little loaves of bread. And Jesus was driven by the Holy Spirit into this. It's about a 15 by 35 mile area. He spent 40 days there with no food. And Jesus was fully human and fully divine. So at the end of the 40 days, he felt the hunger that we feel. He felt the loneliness that we feel. And it's a perfect time for Satan to come and attack him. So Satan comes and says, hey, turn that stone into a loaf of bread and feed yourself. You're hungry. Sort of a bribe. Use your power to do this and take care of yourself. It's an outreach of the power that he has. But Jesus responded from Scripture, from Deuteronomy, and said, one does not live by bread alone. And if you continue on, you live by the Word of God and the Spirit. So Satan gave up on that one. Satan took him up on one of those hillsides in the region and flashed in front of him all of the nations and all of the countries and the civilizations and said, if you worship me, all of these are yours because I have power over the earth and the people on the earth. Sort of a trying to make a bargain with him. Hey, you do this, I'll give you that. And again, Jesus responded from Scripture, again from Deuteronomy, and he says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Satan was shot down on that one. Then Satan transported him to the pinnacle on the temple. It's about 250 feet tall. And says, jump off here. The angels will catch you. They'll protect you. You won't get hurt. God will save you. Sort of a put God to the test and tempt him to step out here and save you. And again, he answered from Scripture and again from Deuteronomy, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And in the same way that Jesus was attacked by Satan, we can be attacked by Satan when we're hungry, when we're cold, when we're lonely, when we're hurt and depressed, when things aren't going right. Satan takes that opportunity to step up and come after us and tempt us with things. As myself, when I see something that's broken, a person or anything, my engineering background steps in. I was always taught in school, if you sit and you look at it and you figure it out and you understand it, you can fix it. You can fix anything. Well, doesn't work with people. And it takes a while to learn that. And that's where Satan hits me with my engineering background. The only way around that is through prayer, through scripture, and the support of other people. When I respond to a call with the fire district and my Minotaur goes off, all of the chaplains in the district, theirs all go off at the same time. And we have an agreement. We pray for one another. You start praying for the person who's going out. You know where they're going. You know what the call is, and you pray for them. And in my case, as soon as it goes off, it's a really obnoxious sound. My wife starts praying for me as I'm getting ready to leave, for support for me. So that's one of the ways we can support one another. Now, normally during Lent, people like to think of things they can give up. They'll give up chocolate. They'll give up alcohol. They'll give up crude language. They'll give up different things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a way to change your life. It's a period to change. But I have a challenge, an opportunity. I'm going to ask everyone to take something on for Lent. So if you get your prayer book out, I'll show you how we can do this. If you turn to page 952, there's a lot of really interesting and good information in the prayer book, and we hit just a small portion of it when we're doing our services. This is the readings for the daily offices, and that's Lent 1. The cycle is a 2-year cycle, so there's year 1 on the left-hand page and year 2 on the right-hand page. We are in year 1. So all our readings are on the left-hand pages. And you can flip, and you can get the 3, 4, and so on, and it continues on. And if you look at what we have for today, we look at Sunday, the first line is the psalm. And it has sets of psalms with a little diamond. The ones before the diamond are for morning prayer, and the ones after the diamond are for evening prayer. And so in this case, we would be dealing with Psalm 63, 1-8, and Psalm 98 for the readings for today. We don't do this for Eucharist. This is for morning prayer. There's also the reading from Deuteronomy, a reading from 1 Corinthians, and a reading from Mark. And then each day of the week, there's another set. And then Lent, the second Sunday in Lent, and the second week in Lent, and so on, right through the whole book. So what I'm suggesting is that we take that opportunity to read these. And in my case, I use one that everything is condensed into one little book. Make it easier. And highlight, as you read in your Bible, those readings, highlight the line that pops out at you. What struck you when you read it? And for each one of the readings, do that. There could be several readings, several highlighted in one each reading, or it could be none. But take that opportunity to read it and highlight what struck you and what stood out. And then, out in the narthex, you'll find little blue exam books. this is your test. It's not a test. This is just a way to do it. Then what you do is you take the blue exam book, and in my case, I have a little book that I use, and I write why I pick one of those readings, and I write in here why it struck me. What struck me about it? What stood out? What hit me? What really got me about what that reading was and what that I highlighted? So that now, 2 years from now, when we're back in year one, and I go through the cycle again, I can look back and say, wow, last year this struck me, and this year it's completely different. My life has changed, my situation has changed, and what strikes me might be different. But it's a way to take what struck you, to think about it, to pray about it, and put it down in words. And you can do that in your little blue exam booklet. Don't have to turn them in. part of the agreement, it's yours. It's your little diary. It's a personal thing that's just for you. And you don't need to share it with anyone. But it's a way to put into words what you have read and what struck you. I'd like to say that in the collect for Advent, we read, "Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read them, mark them, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen."
Amen. Amen. Thank you.